Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by banging these bongos.
Yeah, right. Crazy.
Hello and welcome to episode number 102 of the Ministry of Arts podcast. I'd like to start by welcoming the new Patreon supporters and saying thank you to the existing. And if you'd like to support the Ministry of Arts podcast, you can do via Patreon from as little as £3 a month. And you can do that via patreon.com/Ministry of Arts. Or you can follow the link in the Ministry of Arts Instagram bio. But anyway, back to this week's episode. Today I'll be taking you down to the south coast of England to meet ex-art scallywag, Mr. David Henty. Today, David is known for being one of the world's leading art copyists. And it's said that David has painted more Lowry's than Lowry himself. Now, David's route into the art world was pretty similar to mine. We went to the same college, Her Majesty's Prison. Went to prison for forging passports. And then he discovered art. Although from all those years ago when he was in prison for forgery until today when he's one of the world's leading fine art copyists, there was a couple of years when he sort of merged the two skills, as it were, and some of the artworks that he was copying just happened to go through some of the world's leading auction houses as genuine articles. Now this episode was recorded over Zoom, and on the wall behind David as we spoke was Da Vinci's recently discovered portrait of Christ, which was a little bit surreal. Even more surreal was when I discovered that it was sitting above two Picassos, a Damien Hirst spin painting, a Caravaggio, two Modiglianis, and seven L.S. Lowry's. So as you can imagine, this is probably one of the most fun podcasts I've done for a long time. Already told you a lot of David's story, but no one tells it like the man himself. So please, come with me and meet David Henty.
Did you know, when I was in there, I was doing the 5 years for the forgery, and I just thought I'd go to the art classes. I could always do it because there's a load of us, you know, my brothers, my sister. My sister's a best-selling author. We all got that artistic touch. But when I went to the art class, I thought, fucking hell, I just love it. And do you know, I've never stopped since. You know, that was 30 years ago now.
What was that? Fraud, wasn't it? That was passports, wasn't it? I saw
Forgery.
Yeah.
I was actually charged as forgery, you know. But it was just because I knew how to do the watermarks.
Your painting them on?
No, I just used like an oil, like we printed it with like an oil. And then what it does, when it dries, you hold it up and you can see through it.
Yeah, like clutch fluid. I know people were using that a few years ago.
Yeah, we used just an oil, just I forget what oil it was now.
Mazola.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know the funny? Yeah, no, it goes yellow. You know, we did the watermarks for money.
Yeah.
We was doing money at the same time. And it was so simple, you can't believe it. You know, you know that the white, you know, like Tippex, you put over the thing. But what we've done, we had a printer, so we printed up the Tippex in the thing like that, the heads, the Queen's head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then you wash the paper with like a white, just a white paint, you know, like a see-through opaque white paint.
Yeah.
So when you hold it up, the black, the Tippex turns it black. So you've got the watermark.
Amazing.
You go, I think it's so easy.
And it's funny how someone's come across that as well, when it had to found that out, you know?
Yeah, well, do you know what? A little while ago, I was in Peter James's, you know, the author.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in his one of his books. And anyway, it's about, it's written with the guy who nicked me, the Graham Bartlett, the old Bill. But anyway, they said, you know, but you were in the chapter there and it's about the passports and Brighton, you know. They said, do you want to come to the opening? Anyway, it's down the old police station in Brighton. Anyway, so I went down there and that Peter James got up and he said, oh, there's 80 off-duty policemen here or something. There's 20, you know, retired police and all these. And he said, one rather famous criminal, you know. Anyway, so what happened was afterwards, the guy came up and he's in the Department of Forgery, not forgery, but he does passports. That's his job, you know, looking at passports. And when he came over and he buttonholed me and he said that, he said, we've got your passports in the museum. He said, we're looking at, you know, he said,
excellent.
How did you do this? And he said, and how would you do this to the new passports?
Nice.
I said, well, I can tell you, but you know.
Yeah, it costs you a few quid.
Because anything one man can do, you can do, can't you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you can undo it or do it another way.
Yeah.
All what you just mentioned, I mean, I had already pressed record.
Yeah.
But all what you had mentioned, you've been nicked for that, haven't you?
Yeah, it's all done, yeah. So I haven't done anything. The thing was, when I was doing eBay and doing the forgery and stuff, I actually, because I've got a friend who's a solicitor, he's a lifelong friend. So I said to him, how would I do this? How would I advertise these? You know, stay the right side of the law.
Yeah.
Well, he worked out how to do it. And he said, look, if you put, always put, like the auctions do, you know, I can put L.S. Lowry painting an old board dated 1957. But under the thing, I'll put, because I have no paperwork or provenance with this painting, I'm selling it in the style or after
the artist.
As long as you put that covenant in. So anyway, so I said, you know, put the headlines, you know, L.S. Lowry, Len Kowetz, you know, all these different artists that was doing. But then put in the, you know, in the caveat and the in the write-up, you know.
Just playing on someone else's greed then, didn't you?
Well, yeah. And the thing is, I was getting good money. What was happening was people were buying certain artists off me and I get all the auction catalogues. Christie Sotheby's Bonham, so I get all the British modern art. So I kept seeing my work in the auctions. Which was quite funny. So people are walking along, you know, and going, putting it in. But it wasn't me. I was happy getting, you know, whatever I got, you know, grand, 1,500 quid, sometimes less, sometimes more, you know. I was happy getting that because basically it was taking me an afternoon. I mean, you must know if you do art.
Yeah. Oh, you keep hitting a mic there somewhere. You kept, as you're gesturing with your arm, you kept hitting something.
Oh, did I? Sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. You've just...
I keep my hands... I sit on my hands.
Well, I should say, we've been recording for a few minutes.
Yeah.
I'm talking to David Henty, who has got a sort of double art life, as it were, a previous art life and a new art life. I mean, David, if you could just... I know they would have picked up on what you were just saying, but if you just... Give a little explanation of your previous art life.
My previous art life. Well, I've always liked art forgery, funny enough, and I've always been drawn to the dark side of art.
Yeah,
you know, that's always fascinated me. You know, so when I was a kid, I could always draw, and I was copying people's drawings. You know, Hogarth's and all different people, and I just found it quite easily. It came to me easily.
Yeah,
but never realised I could make any money from it. But when I did start, when I realised I could make money from it, it was like, you know, oh, this is good.
And I people have been copying artworks for years, haven't they? For centuries.
Yeah, it's not illegal. I mean, you can copy what you like.
Yeah.
But you cross the line when you put this is by, or you put a bit of paperwork.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got, you can't see it actually, but I'll show you later. I've got an old typewriter there that I used to write the, put an old bit of paper on, you know, in the collection of so-and-so, you know, anything to give it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying the errors.
Yeah, you were saying that you were selling them as unknown.
As after. Or yeah. In the style of, yeah.
Was there a point where you crossed the line and didn't do that?
No, because I always did it because it was just in my my write-up. So, you know, but the thing is, when it came on, I got exposed by the Telegraph, Sunday Telegraph. They came in and they said, we're going to do a story on you anyway, so you may as well talk to us. So, I brought him in. We had a good chat. He's actually a friend now. He's got one of my Picassos hanging in his front
room. Nice.
But anyway, I knew from the law that which side I was on, and I knew they couldn't do anything. And although eBay took me off and there was a big articles about it and all the papers and it was on the news and that lot, the police actually said, there's nothing we can do. He hasn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
And then all I did was I got some more sites because I had 5 sites going. I had 1,000 feedbacks. well, I'm quite prolific. So what I did was I changed my IP number on the computer, downloaded all the cookies, you know, got rid of all those.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just started up new things, and I was at it for another year or two. And they came on me again, the Telegraph, and it was quite funny. He phoned me up and said, Dave, he said, I know this is yours. It was a Winston Churchill. He said, I know it's yours. He said, we're going to do another article. I said, all right. And then the article come out a couple of days later.
Nice.
But that was quite funny. You know, it was a good period.
You know? So you didn't get arrested. You didn't go away or get arrested for any of them so-called forgeries. So they wasn't. They were just copies.
They weren't copies. Some of them were copies and some of them were in the style of.
Yeah.
So you see, like now, I mean, I sell loads of Lowry's in the galleries. But I can just do a Lowry out of my head.
Yeah,
I don't have to copy it.
Wow! Because you have been credited as painting more LS Lowry's than LS Lowry.
Yeah, that was quite funny. Isn't it?
Where did you get that from?
I was on a series, Sky Arts.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember what it's called. Fake or Fortune,
the Masterpiece Challenge.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
The Great Masterpiece, just something like that. Yeah.
And anyway, that what's his name? Giles Corran. He said that he's painted more because my painting was in the final with John Myatt.
Yeah.
And he said this fella's painted more Lowry's than Lowry.
That's a pretty cool moniker to have, isn't it?
So what I did was it was my birthday coming up. So my brothers, they clubbed together and they got me, you know, those plaques you get. The heritage plaques. They got me one of those. So
nice.
It's on the front of the house. And you know, the funny thing is, I mean, you're an artist, you know, so you know, publicity is good, you know, you need to think. So anyway, it said the world's number one, on the thing, it said the world's number one art forger.
Yeah.
Something like that, towards that effect. So anyway, I did a few interviews after that, and I had to do one up in Mayfair for a magazine. Anyway, the French, it was French she was, and she was filming it, and she started, she said, David, I've done my research, and you are the world's number one art forger. Because I put it on that.
Yeah.
So I said to her, you know, I said, well, yes, I am actually. I said, but I get up really early in the morning. I said, I paint about 8 to 10 hours a day. I said, yeah, it doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
But then since then, I've done loads of interviews and it always starts off with, oh, you're the best in the world. I said, oh, yeah. But it started off as a joke, you know. But it just goes to show, really, doesn't it? But you know, I got a friend, he's a forger as well, because there's my mate Billy the Brush, we call him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wrote a little book, and And it, when he was there, he phoned me up and he said, oh, I'm putting on the world's best. I said, well, you can't put that because I'm the world's best.
There yeah. can't be two of us.
Yeah, so he's put, so now he's the world's most prolific. He's got that title and I've got the world's best title.
Unless he forged your title as well.
No, he's my mate. And we, because his name's Billy DeBrush. And we did an exhibition together a few years ago. And anyway, we'd done a poster for him, like an old wanted poster.
Yeah.
And he dressed him up as Billy the Kid. A few bullet holes in the poster and wanted for crimes against art.
Excellent.
There's, you know, it's all fun, isn't it? You know.
On this podcast, I ask each artist 7 different questions.
Yeah.
The first one is, which we've pretty much brushed over, but how would you explain what you do to someone that doesn't know your work?
How would I explain it? Well, it's, I think, do you know what? I just got a commission today, quite a big one. Do you know what the guy said? He wants 2 paintings from me, but he wants, in the middle, he wants some of my press cuttings put into a frame.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah, because he's not buying... He's buying the art, but he's buying the story.
Yeah, of course.
So I think, you know, when you look, you know, it's a funny story. It's quite, you know, good. There's elements in it, you know, that make you laugh. So I think, you know, you have to take that. You know, that's part of my whole thing. You know, I just like painting because I like painting.
So what you do now, you do genuine copies that I presume have got the artist's name on the front, but yours on the back. Is that correct?
Yeah. But I do, I can show you around in a minute some of the paintings and stuff. You know, I do everyone from a Basquiat there.
I saw that.
That's the 110 million one. To the I don't know if you can see it there, the 450 million, let me put my tea down, Leonardo.
Yeah, I can see it as you're sat there. That's pretty cool, isn't it, to have that in your front room.
Yeah. And then the Picasso, that one there.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one that it was going up for auction. I think it was $50 million or something. And what happened was just before it came to auction, one of the workmen slipped and put a ladder through it.
Oh shit.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it belongs to Steve Wynn, I think it's Steve Wynn. One of the Las Vegas guys, you know, the casino guys. So anyway, what happened was he sued them because it obviously didn't go in the sale, and he got 20 million and it's got a little hole in it. So anyway, and they patched the hole up, you know, they fixed it and stuff. But anyway, he got 20 million plus his painting back. So I was going to do that and I was going to put it up there. And then with a flap, you know, a little flap, and underneath it's got David Henty.
Excellent.
I haven't done it yet because we can't get I'm having difficulty getting them framed and stuff at the moment because everything's closed down, so I've just sort of put it up there, and it's just, as you see, it's just stacked up. There's Modigliani's underneath it, you know, there's everything here.
Excellent. What'd you put on the back of them? Did you put like thumbprint, microchip, or just signature, or what?
No, I just put my name, just put David Henty, you know, and yeah, you know, just I'll just do it because I like it, you know.
Yeah, good. Well, it's honest now, isn't it?
Yeah.
When was your first interest in art?
Do you know what? When we were kids, I come from a big family. There's 5 of us brothers and a sister. My sister's the youngest. My brother Steve, me, my brother Paul, we could all just draw as kids, you know. Funny enough, my grandkids now, they've inherited it. They've got this, they can just draw, you know.
Funny, isn't it?
Yeah. But my dad was a forger as well, my dad. He was a jeweler. And what he used to do was he used to make silver candlesticks, Georgian silver candlesticks.
Yeah.
And my brothers used to sell them at Ardenlie and Bermondsey and that lot, you know. Every time they'd turn up with another pair of Georgian candlesticks, you know. But anyway, I used to do a few paintings for him when I was young, you know, I was only young, just sort of like, see if he's got a painting, an old potboiler, really. Yeah. I'd put a figure in it, or I'd sign it with a different name, like take a signature out and put another signature on, you know, just little things like that. And but he never used to pay me. So I never really equated it with money, you know. So I didn't think it was ever a living, you know.
Yeah.
So, which is
that's how my art practice is at the moment. I can't really equate it to money.
I tell you what, do you know what? There's an old saying, well, not an old saying because I made it up. But since I got that exposure with the Sunday Telegraph, which is 4 or 5 years ago now, I say now that yeah, if they don't know you, they don't buy you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like yourself, you know, my sister's the thing as well, you know. She's the number one author. She's knocked, what's his name, Stephen King off the top of the thing the other day.
Oh, wow.
She took over the number one spot. Yeah, she's, you know, she earns fortunes from her books. She's got her own publishing company as well.
Oh, yes.
So she's really clever, you know.
Oh, that's handy to know, isn't it? If ever, if ever I write the book, everyone keeps telling me to write.
Yeah, well, she's got, yeah, well, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Because I tell you what, you know, because you've been away and I've been away. When I was in there, in that art class and stuff in prison, do you know, there was so much talent there.
It's amazing, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah. There was people there that just, you know, really, really talented. There was a black guy there that was my mate. And do you know, he was, because I didn't know about Basquiat then, the American graffiti artist.
Yeah.
But he was like a South London Basquiat. They were fucking brilliant, his paintings. Really, sorry for swearing. But, he, you know, brilliant. There was another fella, he was my mate as well. Another black fella, and he got shot and killed, unfortunately. But he was in the pottery class, and we were doing Bernard Leach pottery. I was painting it. He was doing the things. I said to him, "Can you do Martin Ware birds? You know, the little Wally birds."
Yeah.
He could just do them. You know, he showed him a picture, and he could carve it out of you know, the thing. And I was painting them. We were doing all sorts. You know, he was just a natural talent that was. He was from South London again.
What jail was you in?
I was in Knife Point or High Point.
Oh yeah.
And Brownview, Downview.
Yeah, I was in Downview myself at 98.
Yeah, when was I there? A long time ago. Yeah, I can't remember that. Yeah, in the 90s. Yeah, 90. I was there. But yeah, no, you know, there was some, and I was in Lewis as well, obviously. That's my local prison.
It's the one you frequent quite often.
Well, that's where I go, all right, Dave, when you're walking. and I was in Madrid, maximum security as well for a year, and being extradited back.
Yeah.
Because I went off for a while from my travels, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know the amount of talent these people walking about, you know, sometimes I think it needs to be tapped, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you got people in there that were entrepreneurs. They were just given the wrong directions, you know. I didn't know how to channel these stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in there, I was painting and I was doing these paintings and, you know, they weren't bad, you know. I've got my first painting. Because what I was doing, I was forging in there. I haven't mentioned it. You know, my brothers, they were doing the antiques and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I worked out. We could get paper in there, you know, thing, and you can age paper up quite easily.
Yeah.
So I was doing these watercolors, Helen Allen, and quite a few others, giving them out to my brothers on the visits, and they were selling them at the car boot sales. I found an old bit of, it wasn't wood, but it was like a panel, you know.
Yeah.
And I painted a water sicket on there, and I aged it up and stuff. Anyway, I sold it for £1,000. Yeah, which is
brilliant.
You know, I was forging in there, which was great.
I mean, which piece that you've created has got like the strongest emotional connection? Or are you most proud of?
Do you know, it's hard. I like this one. I'll show you. It's, like Caravaggio is my favourite. I don't know if you know Caravaggio.
Of course, yeah. He's got a good old backstory, hasn't he?
He's got a fantastic backstory. Yeah, well, he's my favourite.
Yeah, you'd like to have known him, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He's a bit wild, wasn't he?
He's a bit of a rebel, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can see it there. He's my favourite.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And there's I don't know if you can see that there.
Oh, nice.
There's another Caravaggio there. That's not finished. And there's one there. Oh, another one. Which is, again, unfinished. I've just sort of... I don't think you can see it there.
Yeah.
And there's one out in the hallway as well. I love doing Caravaggio's.
Oh, I like that up on the wall there, the round one. Oh, I like that a lot.
That's a Damien.
Yeah.
There's another one there.
Nice.
Well, you know the Damien's. While they were going through, because he's got my initials, DH.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And so is David Hockney. So anyway, so I'll do is sign the band. We've got similar writing, would you believe? Because I did a line of these. They're downstairs. I've got a couple. I did bigger ones and stuff. I think, where's the... you've seen that one, didn't you?
Gorgeous. But, yeah. I mean, you've got no control over what happens to your work once you've sold it, have you?
No. Listen, when I was doing the forgeries, that's the thing. I'll tell you a story about Billy the Brush. He had a runner. Well, he paints paintings, you know. He does abstracts and a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's got a runner, someone that does the markets and places like that with all different stock. And this runner used to go to his lockup and, you know, say, "What you got, Billy?" And Billy said, "I've got a few paintings. I've got a Chagall there. I've got a so-and-so there. I've got a Sousa. Oh, I'll have those for how much, you know? Well, that's 400 quid. That's 300 quid. You know, and he used to say, take £1,000. They'd take a few, put them in his stock.
Yeah.
Anyway, they phoned Billy up a little while ago. They said, this Mark phoned, they're all excited. He said, "Oh, I just sold your painting, the one I bought off you, I think 300 quid. He said, "I sold it at five." He said, "My mate took it in, bleep, bleep. But he got £7,000 for it." You know, so, you know, but Billy's in his thing because he sold them as after. You know, he hasn't committed and he hasn't got any of the money. You know, that's what he phoned me up. He said, "You know, it's fucking lovely." Tell him they got £7,000.
Was they aware of it in the end? Did it come out?
You know what? Once they're in the auctions, they're in. You know, very unlikely unless you're doing major, you know, Picassos or Van Goghs. And, you know, these lower artists, once they're in, that's it. They go. They've got a life of their own.
Well, I suppose once they've gone through somewhere, like, then that's a little bit of provenance it's already got, isn't it? So it's just bolstering. It's a kosher painting, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah. I knew someone that had an auctioneer. And I was selling him paintings. I won't say the artist because they're, it's not very nice. But anyway, I was selling it, and he was buying them off me, and he was taking them down there, racking them through his mate's auction, and they were going for. Then they had a life of their own. They were making 10, 12 grand. They were ending up in all different places.
Yeah,
as real. But they'd gone through that first auction. Then once they'd gone through, they got their little ticket there. You know, such and such. They're fine. You know.
Well, if you got an auction house catalogue through, and you would you be able to recognise one of yours?
Yeah, I do. I've got a basement downstairs full up with catalogues, and I can recognise a lot of mine. But when you have done so many,
you forget. I don't know whether you recognise a style of yours that appears in these paintings or not.
Yeah. Do you know what? There's a good point there. There's a forger. He wasn't very good because to be a forger, you've got to do your homework and you've got to know about artists and you've got to really, you indulge yourself in it. You know, that's all you do is you just think and breathe art. I wasn't in it for the money. It was for me. It was, I love doing it. You know, I just love painting. I get up in the morning, I like painting. Anyway, this guy, he was trying to be a forger, but you could see the same hand, no matter what paintings he did.
Yeah.
You see the same hand, you know, and that's the kiss of death, you know. When I do an artist, I like to. I've just done. There's a little Heim Soutine painting. He's one of my favourites. He's Mo Digliani's mate.
Got you.
There's a little painting coming up in Monaco on January the 20th, and it's of Coco Chanel. Well, I've got it downstairs because. But the thing is, when you do these artists, you've got to like them for one thing. You've got to be really, have a sort of affinity with them.
Yeah.
And secondly, you know, I like to do series of paintings. So if I'm doing Soutine or if I'm doing Lowry, I do 5 or 10 in the series, basically because I get into that.
Yeah, because you're in that world, aren't you?
Yeah. Otherwise, what happens is, you know, it's difficult to swap from one artist to another. The last thing you want in a copy or a fake or, a forgery, whatever you want to call it, you don't want a dead painting.
Yeah.
You want a bit of life in there. So you do want to, when you're getting a Soutine or something, you do want to throw the paint on. You know, you do want to be a, you know, you want that spark in it. You know, and that's the difference between doing it for money or just doing it because you love it, you know.
Well, when was it you turned it around and started doing David Henty copies?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I was doing the eBay and I was getting 10 grand a month, you know, profit every month. And for about 4 years, I thought, fuck me, this is brilliant. And I paid my tax. Because I had the tax man. I had a lot of trouble with the tax man because I thought it was just a hobby, you know. Anybody came on me one day and said, right, you've you know, we've got all the stuff here you owe, you know. And I got a really good accountant, so we got it all down and stuff. But great, you know, just sort of painting a little painting up in the afternoon. But then what happened was I got taken off, and then I got my sights back again. I've got another computer and stuff. And then they come on me about a year or two later, and I lost everything again, all the sights.
Yeah.
And they got a lifetime ban from eBay and Wetlock. So I was thinking, oh, what am I going to do? You know, and then I got a letter through the post from a guy in Ireland. Can you paint these paintings? And so it was difficult painting. So I said, yeah, I could do it, but it's £10,000. Yeah, I didn't think much of it, you know. And he said, well, put a deposit. So I painted the paintings. And then he gave me a 400 quid tip because he was so pleased, this fella. So I was, you know, thinking, what, you know, and then, so I thought I'll have a little exhibition on my own and just see, you know, because it was all in the papers. It was on the news. It was all, you know, it was at the time there was a lot of stuff. So I thought, I'll ride the wave and have a little exhibition. So I had one and it was, I can't remember how many, but I sold a lot of paintings before the auction, before the exhibition opened.
Nice.
Because I was in the, I phoned my mate up in the Telegraph and he put it in there, you know, and it said the Telegraph on the comments page. He said the Sunday Telegraph would like to pat itself on the back for putting David Henson in the narrow. Anyway, so I sold quite a few paintings and I thought, oh, this is good, you know. And then after that exhibition, I didn't really know what to do because where'd you go from there?
Yeah.
Like you must know, you know, you've got to keep out there, haven't you, somehow?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it all dies down and then you think, oh, the phone's not ringing.
Yeah.
I'm not selling. What am I do, you know?
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I thought, well, I'd do another one, another exhibition. So I got together Billy the Brush and I, and we'd done an exhibition called A Question of Attribution. I did all the old masters and he did Jackson Pollock and all those type ones.
Yeah, nice.
We had three TV stations there at the time when we were on the opening night. And it was like, you know, this is good, you know. We're selling loads of stuff. And but you still think, where'd you go? You know, we got a website and that lot, but where'd you go, you know? But then what happened was Andrew from Cloud Gallery, he came along to the exhibition. And he said, would you like to be, can we represent you in the galleries, you know? And he had four galleries at the time. So I said, all right, then, you know. So I got a window in, you know, in these different galleries and he gave me my own wall with my name on it and all this stuff, really pushed it. From there, I went in loads of different galleries as well. So I'm in quite a few now. And I'm just about, touch wood, just before the lockdown, I was being signed up by a big group. They've got 40 or 50 high street galleries.
Nice.
But it hasn't happened yet, but we've had a few meetings. But obviously, all the shops are closed at the moment.
Yeah.
So hopefully, when they open back up, I'm signing up with them, you know. And basically, I'll be in 40 or 50 different high street galleries around the country.
And so, what is that, Dave? Is that copies again?
Yeah, just, I mean, my bestseller, I mean, I love Caravaggio's, but they don't sell.
Yeah.
And they're 6 foot. You know, people haven't got that sort of house where you can put them in.
Yeah.
And also, you know, not everyone wants, you know, I've got one downstairs with it, you know, he's got the head, they're cutting the head off. And
yeah,
all this.
Yeah. Well, I saw that there actually. Yeah.
Oh no, I've got another one downstairs.
He's mad. He's mad listening to this.
Yeah, a famous one where she's taking the guy's head off. But not everyone wants them in their houses, you know, that sort of thing. You know, we used to have it in the bedroom and my missus, you know, didn't want it in there. You know? But no, so what happened was they like Lowry's. I do a lot of Lowry's. There's one there.
Well, he done some small ones as well, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I do. That's a little Lowry there.
And what's that? That's like 50 by 70, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. There's another one there.
Nice. Yeah, because he'd done some even smaller ones than that, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't know what...
Like a couple of three figures in.
Yeah, there's three little the things. But no, these type ones here.
Oh, that's the ones, yeah, like that. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, those are, you know, these are just, I did these just because I like these little faces. But
yeah, brilliant.
But people, they're not the best sellers. They like those little ones with the dogs and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But, no, they sell them, you know, and they sell loads of them, so many. So they keep getting me to do them all the time, which is great. You know, I don't mind, you know. But I prefer stuff like this. John William Waterhouse.
Yeah.
There's Modigliani there.
Oh, Modigliani. I've seen a few of your Modigliani's. Beautiful.
I love him. Do you know what?
There's so much character in them paintings, isn't there?
There's a screen behind there. That's one of the most stolen paintings, isn't it, the screen? I've got two of them.
What, just in case someone steals one?
Yeah. Well, we use that on a poster, actually. For the exhibition, said we put you will, and then the picture if you miss this exhibition.
It's crazy to see, when you turn your camera around and there's all these masterpieces there. I mean, having a Da Vinci sitting behind you froze you a bit.
Well, I've got, do you know what? There's more, I've got a basement downstairs and stuff downstairs. I've got stuff on the easel. Downstairs, I'm just doing one. Excellent. A big Lowry, actually. I've got that the soutine, the little Coco Chanel one that's downstairs drying.
And how's your missus having them round the house with every corner she turns, or has she got used to it now?
Well, she likes them sold.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah, she does. Can I say, you know, I really like that. Nope. We're not keeping it. It's got to be sold.
Yeah. Don't care how many vacant nails are on the wall.
Yeah. No. The only one she likes is, you know, the Caravaggio bowl of fruit.
Yeah. I see that.
Yeah. Well, what happened was that frame's a proper Venetian frame. It's probably worth about 1,500 quid to £2,000. It's a carved wood frame. Well, I sent her down to my mate's antique shop in Hove to buy it because he gets me all the old frames. And she said, oh, there's a nice frame in there with a mirror in it. So she sent me a photograph on the phone. I went, how much is it? She said, 125 quid. So get that. So we bought that, and then I put the Caravaggio, I painted the Caravaggio on a panel to fit in there, you know.
Yeah, nice.
She likes that. She wants to keep that one. But I'm sure if someone offered me some money, she'd say, no, we need to.
As you said, though, you're a prolific painter. What do you do to relax?
I paint.
Yeah, a few people have said that same thing.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I don't know how you feel with your art, but when I've got something on my mind, I go down there and I plod away at my canvas, you know, whatever I'm doing. And it sort of brings you to a lower place where you're sort of more relaxed, you know. If I'm happy, I'll go and start painting, you know. So for me, you know, for me, it's good. There's my little dog coming in. Hey, baby. But it's what I like doing, you know. And funny, I think it is all consuming. I think if you've got that in you, if I'm not painting, I'll be reading a book, an art book.
Yeah.
And my missus, I've got everything. taped all the art programs, you know, and there's, I'll check, you know, different channels and Sky Arts and everything. If there's any good art, you know, I'll tape it. And so, you know, I watch art programs. So basically all I do ever do is just soak myself in, yeah, in the arts, you know, and really, I haven't got any hobbies as such, you know. But you know, there's a fallacy that you can't copy anything unless it's 70 years old, the copyright's off, all that.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it was wrong, you know, because you can copy what you like. What the law is if you try and pass that off, because I've had the, see the Basquiat Foundation, I've had letters from them saying, don't do any more Basquiats, you know, you'll be thinking, but I'm not selling them as Basquiats. So there's nothing they can do apart from send you the threatening letter.
Yeah.
I had the Bacon Foundation, because I was doing Big Francis Bacon's.
Yeah, they're quite protective over them, aren't they?
They really are, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I did one day. It was a bit funny. And it's not, you know, it's not, I haven't done anything wrong. I bought this canvas at Lewis Auction. It was a big 5 or 6 foot canvas. And it had some sort of figure on there. It was like an abstract type of thing. So I was looking at it and I thought, and it was a 60s canvas.
Yeah.
So I thought, do you know what? It could be two figures. So I put a bit of paint on it. It looked like two figures, two naked figures fighting, like one of his subjects. Like
one
of his subjects that he'd do. I didn't mention Francis Bacon. So it's turned, it looks a bit like a Francis Bacon, like two figures entwined. So on the back, I just put care of, I can't remember his boyfriend's name from the 60s, something Lacey, you know. And I put it on eBay. And it went mad. Honestly, it went through the roof. I mean, you can't believe how much it made, you know. Yeah. I never mentioned Francis, you know.
When his sketches and that come about, because he was said not to have done sketches, wasn't he? And in about 98.
Yeah.
97, 98, they found, supposedly found in a skip.
Yeah.
A load of these sketches that Francis Bacon had done, he'd painted over like newspaper and magazine articles, you know, over the figures. They was afraid then that was going to open the floodgates for anyone to
do it, yeah.
Who knew his style to put it over an old newspaper, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, he also used to paint on the back of the paintings, didn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah,
on the back of the canvas.
Yeah, on the back of the canvas. Yeah, he used to turn them round.
Yeah,
and then he used to like paint on the unprimed side.
Yeah, that's it. You know? Have you ever had any interactions from artists that you've copied their work?
Yeah, I'll tell you what happened one day. I like Ruskin Spear, you know, Walk the Sick, that sort of school.
Yeah.
Well, Ruskin Spear, I liked his work. Same way, so I knocked out a couple of Ruskin Spears one day. I put them on the eBay. And they're going for like $1,000, $2,000, you know, that sort of money. Anyway, I've got a fucking nasty thing from his son. I forget his name. He was in the Bonzo Dog Doodah band or something.
Oh, yeah.
Something, I can't remember his name. But he said, he sent me an email on the eBay. He said, can you stop doing my father's work? So anyway, I said, well, you could be anyone, you know, because you get that all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it turned out he was the son and he hounded me for ages anyway. But so I stopped doing Ruskin Spear.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But there was another one, Simeon Stafford. You know, he's he lives down in Cornwall, I think. Well, he's got this sort of, he's got like a colourful Lowry style. Anyway, but I used to do his work and I was getting, you know, 500 quids and things. I thought, oh, this is, you know, nice, easy styles, you know. Anyway, so he wrote me and said, can you stop doing my work? He said, yeah. Hey, really nice about it, you know, so I said, all right. And so I thought, well, I had a really good revenue stream doing them, you know, because I was selling quite a few. So I thought, what can I do? This was back in my eBay days. But what can I do? So I started doing the same style, but I signed it Beach Hut Henry instead. Said, you know, I sold about, I don't know, 100, between 100 and 150 Beach Hut Henry paintings in this style. And when I stopped, because I got a little bit bored of doing it, I had people write to me, oh, if you see Henry, because I said, he lives in a beach hut down the road here. So I'd knock a few off and then send them to, then send me some money.
Excellent.
So anyway, that was quite funny. Yeah.
Well, Dave, if there was you and five other artists, past and present,
yeah,
what would your ideal group show be?
Well, I don't want to be outshone. I'll probably pick some second-rate ones. Well, I'd pick Caravaggio, obviously. Yeah, he's my hero, Caravaggio. Who else would I pick? There's so many. I love Rubens. I love, you know, I tend to be drawn to the old masters. I like Sickert, Walter Sickert.
Yeah.
I'm just reading a book about him at the moment, or listen to one, you know, the audio ones. Oh, Leonardo. Yeah, maybe Lowry. Get his take on, you know, get his take on my paintings. But he might not be very happy.
You said earlier at the start of this, it might have even been before we press record, that you now paint Lowry's out of your head. Are they copies out of your head, or are you painting a new picture in his style?
I'll tell you what you get, because remember I've done so many Lowry's, I've done loads and loads, thousands. What happens is I walk along the road sometimes and you'll see someone with a funny walk or a Lowry type person, you know, Lowry-esque thing. So what I'll try and do is I'll try and get a thing of it in my mind, you know, like a snapshot.
Yeah.
I'll come back and use that. And the other day we were up in the up the fields walking the dogs. And there's this funny guy we see with a dog, and he's an old fellow with a red face, and you know, I think he's a bit of a drinker and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's very smart, and everything. So anyway, I was looking at him, you know, just the way I caught him, you know, one day, and I thought, oh, do you know what? I came back and I put him in a little Lowry with his dog looking at him, and I gave it to the galleries. They sold it straight away. So brilliant. You know, it's completely original Lowry, just running his style, you know.
And do you still call them after Lowry, or do you just let the visual speak for itself?
I do call them after Lowry just because I signed them LS Lowry.
Yeah.
I was thinking of changing my name at one point. I could sign it legally, you know, but I was going to call myself, you know, Lawrence Stephen Lowry. At the moment, I'm looking at doing Roy Lichtenstein.
Nice.
I've been experimenting how he done all the dots and stuff. I've got the little stencil with all the holes and different sizes and stuff. So I'm having a look at him just for a client. I did think, you know, you do these, you know, people want these paintings, but they're big, because you see these paintings that make 5 million, 10 million, 50 million. A lot of them are big. You know, they want big, impressive pieces.
Yeah. What would you like to do if you weren't an artist?
I like antiques, so I'd probably, but then I like the art, because before I was painting and stuff like that, I used to buy and sell art just because I liked it. I was always drawn to it, but I didn't know. So, you know, I used to do stuff with my dad and he never used to pay me. So that was basically, you never connected, do you? You don't think, oh, this could be a living, you know, but it's so funny now, you know, the position in now, you know, just this week, I've got two big commissions. I've just finished doing a commission for someone, which is a big one. And, you know, we're just, you know, it's flying. And you think, you know, they're paying me to do this stuff. I can't believe it. You know, I have to pinch myself, you know.
Yeah. I mean, but, if that's your job, why stop and try something else, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If it's working, it's working, isn't it?
Well, when I talk to Billy, because we have conversations most days, you know, he's 71, Billy. And he's the same as me, and he just can't help it. He has to paint. You know, that's what
Mumford.
Does. Mumford, yeah. Billy Mumford. Yeah. Well, you know him, do you?
No. I know of him only because I've heard of you, and I've heard of him, and I've heard of yous two together. So,
yeah. Because he was in prison a little while ago, wasn't he?
That was only a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
What did he get? He got a two, didn't he?
Two or two and a half, yeah. You know, he went to he lives in Littlehampton, and he went to his local prison, Ford.
Yeah.
After a few weeks in Wandsworth. And, you know, he's an old Jewish fella. And he said, you know, he told the woman he couldn't, the governor, he said, oh, I can't walk straight. So, you know, so they gave him a job picking up litter. He said he had the same bag of litter, you know, all through his head. But he got out and he had an exhibition in Arundel, and it's called Billy Mumford Going Straight.
Nice.
Anyway, guess who came to the exhibitions? One of the guests, the governor of Ford.
Brilliant.
And then he's all standing up, he's walking about. It's a miracle. So, yeah, he's a good character, you know. He's you know, he's just an old art forger. He can't help it.
Yeah.
We're actually thinking about doing a book, which, you know, might come in handy with you, you know. We're thinking about doing a book on art forgery, but like a how to do it. So
yeah.
Basically like an easy sort of thing.
The artwork's going to love you, isn't it?
Well, do you know what? That is the thing. We're going to put a chapter in there. As long as you do it this way, you're not breaking the law. Do you know what? I'll tell you a little story. I don't know if you've got much time, but...
Got all the time you want.
I was in Wales, I think it was last year or the year before, and one of the artists I like was Kiffin Williams. He's a Welsh artist.
Mm.
So anyway, so we went up and I wanted to see his house and stuff. He's dead now, you know. We went up to stay in Anglesey for a week, me and the missus, and we went to, he's got a museum there in the Anglesey, and it's got all his old paint, and it's got his paint tubes and all the paint, you know, the maker paints he used and all sorts of stuff like that. And I thought, oh, fucking hell, you know. So anyway, while I was there, some of the views that he painted, you could see. So I knocked a quick Kiffin Williams out, brought it back. And I gave it to my mate. Well, no, my mate come round, that was it. A mate of mine, and he's an electrician. Anyway, my missus went out, and I stuck it in the oven. I think it was 80. It was only a little thing that big. I stuck it in the oven about 80 for, I think, about an hour or something like that. Anyway, it dried, stunk, you know, but it dried. So we had the
windows.
Yeah. So anyway, so we let it, you know, air in for a couple of weeks, anyway. And I gave it to him in the end. He'd done something for me. Oh, we'd done the lights down at the bottom of the garden. So I gave him the paint. Anyway, he took it along to the auction, the local auction. He walked it in there, went, I've got this paint. Is it worth anything? And they went, it's Kiffin Williams, it's worth about 10 grand. Anyway, he phoned me out. He said, I put that paint in the auction. I put it on my Instagram. He said, take it off. Log it in, it, you know.
Superb.
But that's the same auction. I don't know if you saw that. My missus hates me talking about it. That little Picasso turned up.
I don't know, but please tell us.
Well, it's the same auction that I gave a Picasso. I done this little Picasso, and I gave it to my mate. And it wasn't even a good one. It was just, I was only looking at it. And sometimes you just throw the paint on there, you get an idea, and you think, yeah, it'll work. And sometimes it doesn't work. It just wasn't one of them. So I gave it to my mate. I don't know what happened, but anyway, it ended up in a car boot sale, apparently. And then it went to the auction, and it was on the news and all this stuff. They said, this Picasso has been found. And what I did on the back, Picasso's mate was Roland Penrose. And okay. He lived in Chiddingly, just down the road. So I put a little pencil thing. I put to Roland, lots of love.
lots of love.
Yeah, anyway, if I could turn that at the auction, they said this painting is worth £1 million. And it was 3 miles from my house, this auction. Anyway, so my mate from the Telegraph, he phoned me up and he said, Dave, is that one of yours? I said, I don't know, I ain't seen it yet. So I looked at it. I went, oh, it's one of mine. He came out and said, you know, well, Forger does this painting, you know. They were on the phone, this auction guy, you know. Anyway, they were really, really aggressive. They were saying, he's a criminal. Who would believe him? And all this stuff. Well, we're fucking out painting. You can see it's a crap painting. It's not even a good one. Anyway, the papers got on it, and there was a slanging match between the pair of us. And they said they had offers from Australia and all the, you know, different people.
Yeah.
£1 million they were touting. Anyway, one of the papers come down, the Daily Star, I think it was. And they phoned me up. They said, would you be willing to do an interview? I went, yeah. They said, can you paint the Picasso in front of us? I said, yeah, in about 20 minutes. So they came down and they had the woman dressed up there with the interviewer,
yeah,
with Barry and stuff. And I showed her how to paint the Picasso. I just did one in 20 minutes. They had it on the beat.
Brilliant.
Anyway, it was really funny. It was they were fuming. They were because they were got £250,000 commission. But
if it weren't a good one and it's still passing them, it's a bit of a knock to them, isn't it? You know,
they were useless. They didn't even do their due diligence. You know, the thing was it wouldn't have gone any further than them.
Yeah.
So someone would have got stuck. You know.
Well, I don't know how it works, Dave. But what would have happened if they would have sold that for £500,000 and then it come about, are they liable for it for
I'll tell you what would have happened. They were a two-bob auction. What would have happened? They would have folded. They would have just gone bankrupt and fucked off with the money. Funny enough, I did a film with Vice a little while ago.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't come out yet. It's all about art forgery, money laundering, the whole nine yards, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It's a series. Billy's on there as well, me and Billy. We had to stand outside Ford Prison, and they wanted to show us down, you know, at Ford Market where we buy the old canvases and old boards and frames. So we were doing that. And they said, oh, can we go and stand outside Ford Prison? We're doing an interview with you, Billy, there, you know. So we were standing outside Ford Prison. As we were doing the interview, people were going by, wankers! Shout, you know, about three or four times it happened, you know. Anyway, we did a thing with them. And it's not out yet, but it's a series. I don't know what it's called. But you know this painting that the Leonardo?
Yeah.
Well, that, I don't know if you know the story of that. That sold for 450 million. But what happened, some guys found it, and this Russian guy, I forget his name. No, he's not Russian, Yves Bouvier. Well, he was the middleman. He went and looked at it, and he used to sell it to a Russian guy. So he sold it to the Russian guy. He took his commission, plus he put another, I think it was 50 million on. And anyway, so the Russian guy sued him, even though he sold it at 450 million. But this Yves Bouvier, there's been a big thing at Sotheby's where these paintings have gone through, these old masters, and they've all turned out to be fake.
Oh.
And they've all been connected to Yves Bouvier. Anyway, they were going to interview him. That's why they wanted me, because of I'd done the painting.
Yeah.
Anyway, they went and they interviewed him. I think they were going to interview him on his yacht or his plane, because he's, you know, 100 million strong.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, another part of the series, the FBI are on there. The whole is real in-depth thing about art forgery, but not only that, the money laundering side of it, where you use art for, you know, in these, what they're called, free ports.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So me and you are doing, we're billionaires, we're doing a deal, and I say to you, right, I'm going to give you 10 million, I'll put a painting over to your lockup. There's no transactions. There's no, thing on the internet. There's no money changed hands, you know. There's no tax and all this lot. And they were, you know, it's all about that type of stuff. And plus the forgeries, you know. So that should be coming out soon. That'd be quite fun, you know.
When's it out, do you know?
I don't. It was just before Christmas I was doing it. Just after the first lockdown. So,
yeah.
You know, I was talking about doing a book, Billy and me, doing a, the Art Forger's Handbook, basically. It's a how
you've got to do it.
Well, do you know, the funny thing is, there's an easy way, there's loads of easy ways of doing it, but you don't have to be a great talent. You know, you don't have to be able to draw like Michelangelo.
Yeah.
You know, you set your cap to what you're good at. So if you're good at abstracts, like Billy loves abstracts. I find them difficult, but he likes all that side of it. His paintings were going to make it 80 grand and all this sort of stuff. They were the front page of the Bonhams and all this lot. They were called the Cobra School. You know, Billy had done his research.
Yeah.
And the only reason it came on top was a couple of these artists, they were really rare to find their work. And then every week, more of them kept turning up. So in the end, the expert said, what's the hell's going on here? Because, you know, we don't see one for 10 years. And all of a sudden, Ken had turned up, you know. And so they got on it and they traced it back to Billy.
And they was painted on Hobbycraft own brand canvases.
Billy's very good like that. He haunts the car boot sales and the you know, the markets and all that sort of stuff. Brilliant. And he'll only buy it. It's like I do. If I'm going to do a proper fake, I'll paint on an old canvas.
Yeah.
It's no good putting all that work in. And then you first thing you do is you turn it around. You know, it's a new canvas. That's not right. You know.
Then that's blown the illusion, hasn't it?
Yeah. No, you need... You need to completely, you know.
And do you miss it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you
desperately?
But they've done, when I was away, they'd done this sort of like a little poll about why people get into crime.
Yeah.
And first is money.
Yeah.
Second was the thrill.
The thrill. Yeah. Exactly. It's the adrenaline.
And it is. I've been straight pretty much since I went away, you know.
Yeah.
But I've now got wife, two kids.
Yeah.
I'm an artist. I don't do anything dodgy. I've got no
criminal friends.
You know, all my friends are artists.
Yeah.
Dave, what have you got coming up? I know it's a bit a precarious moment at present, but have you got anything in the pipeline?
Yeah, I'll tell you what we're doing. I've got, nothing much at the galleries because they're all closed, you know. Yeah.
Have they not got an online presence?
They have, but they're not doing a lot on the online, you know. And they don't I'm not their only artist.
Yeah.
So you have to make your own.
Yeah.
But we've just got in the two commissions today was a commission for two paintings. And I had one in a couple of days ago, I think, for two Basquiats as well. They're all good money, you know, quite a few thousand. I've just done that one. That was a lot of money as well. That the big Basquiat, the skull, that one.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I did
that's
that.
That's probably his best known, isn't it?
That's the one that made 110 million. But that one there is going to Marbella.
And you're selling it for half of that.
Yeah. A tenth would be all right. But that's going to Marbella. But he's just offered me a gallery out in my own gallery out in Marbella.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're supposed to be going over there, but obviously we all got the lockdown now. This was just before Christmas. A really nice fella. But anyway, so we'll see. You know, we don't know yet. Yeah.
Where can people see your work, Dave, online or social media?
Social media. I've got David Hentyart Instagram. Online, I've got David Hentyart website. And in galleries, there's quite a few galleries that got carry my work now. But Cloud Gallery are the ones that distribute my work, basically, around the country. And they're in Brighton, Chichester, Manchester. Yeah, it's where I got all my books and...
Oh, wow.
Oh, there's that Caravaggio.
Nice,
Not finished yet. These are the old canvases I buy.
Nice, like yeah. Superb.
So just, you know, put something on there. But what I wanted to do is the Rolling Stones.
Oh, nice. I've done a collaboration with Ronnie Wood the other year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Bloody hell. Not like old Ronnie.
Wait, Dave, I'm going to get away. Dave, I fucking loved it. We'll definitely meet up after all this madness is over and done with.
Yeah, come down for Dale. You know, you'll love it, don't you?
Dave, all right, the best. Gary. Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, mate, it's been a pleasure. See you later on.
How about that, David Henty? A great insight into the workings of two great copyists. An honest one, and one a little less so. But either way, fascinating story, right? I think it's a pretty good job that mine and David's paths never crossed before today. But as you could hear on this podcast, David and I got on like an house on fire, and we've spoke a lot since. And we will definitely be doing a few projects together in the future. Bona fide, of course. And who knows, one day we may even get Billy the Brush on here as well. And if not, I'll just get someone to come on and pretend to be him, see how he likes it. Anyway, that's it for this week. But like I say every week, on whichever platform you listen to this podcast, you should be able to leave a comment. If you could, that really would help us get noticed and anyone else looking for an art podcast. If you want to give a bit of support over on our socials, that is ministryofarts.org or my own personal one, @MizogArt, and that is across all the socials. Either way, thanks for listening, and until next week, ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.